got a nasty fungal infection up there and it's viciously contagious.
Hello and welcome back to Ticket A42, the Australian theatre industry podcast created in conjunction with AussieTheatre.com. As you know, I'm your host, John O'Hara, and each episode I sit down for a chat with one of Australia's most successful and interesting industry professionals for a fun and insightful look into their lives, their careers, and everything in between their Ticket A42 moment and now. Well, speaking of successful, let me introduce you to my next guest. He is literally the busiest man in showbiz. He has a successful career across film, television, theatre, musical theatre, opera, cabaret. He's a writer and a recording artist. He's won 3 Helpman Awards. He's won Green Room Awards. He's a Sydney Theatre Award nominated actor. He's got 2 AFI nominations under his belt. And every morning he sings There's a Bear in There on Play School. Please make welcome my friend Mitchell Butel. Hi,
hello,
Mitch.
John, lovely to be here with you. Thank you for that introduction.
That was a good one, hey?
Yeah, I liked it.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
My absolute pleasure.
So you are even more busy than usual at the moment. When I rang you to ask you to come and be interviewed, you were filming an ABC series in the mornings, rehearsing your cabaret during the afternoon, and then performing in a play at night.
Correct. Right. Yes, that's still happening this week.
So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about those projects?
Yeah, well, yesterday, for example, I did my last day actually on the TV show, which is called Hiding for ABC, which is a drama about witness protection, and I'm playing a neurotic psychology professor in that. And then I had a bit of cabaret rehearsal in the afternoon for my new show, Killing Time, which is on the Hayes Theatre Company, starting in a week's time and on for all through November and December. And then I'm doing Emerald City, the David Williamson play, which is a 1987 play, which is being revived at the Griffin Theatre at the moment. So it's a busy time, but very exciting time. So multivitamins, lots of greens, 8 hours sleep.
Yeah.
That's how we get through.
And with Killing Time, the show at the Hayes, which you've done before at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival and around, what's the premise for that show?
Yeah, well, the premise is basically 24 hours of the day squeezed into 80 minutes of, funny and amusing cabaret with lots of kind of jazz and blues are the kind of things I like singing. So that's the kind of basis for the musical palette. And it follows the 24 hours, but also follows, I guess, on a metaphorical level, a journey from naivety to understanding to, a level of contentment the following morning, but, with some drama on the way and lots of gags and rubbishy stories about myself. And we've got a fantastic jazz band, a 3-piece jazz band who sound amazing.
So led by
Darryl Wallace on the keyboard, Michael Galeazzi, who's a great ARIA-nominated bass player, and Joe Acaria, who, the world's best drummer, Leah Howard's fabulous husband, Smoke and Mirrors, Sweet Charity. So, yeah, they're my Italian Stallion rhythm section, I call them. And, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And they're great tunes. And I'm just rewriting the script a little bit at the moment because we did Adelaide, which is a pretty vanilla audience. And I'm just going to spice it up a little bit for Sydney, I think.
Yeah. And you recorded the album, didn't you?
Yeah, we recorded it live at Adelaide. Yeah, so it's similar. There's a couple of new things in there.
Can we still get copies of...
You certainly can on iTunes, and they'll be available in the foyer after the show.
Fantastic. And talk to me about Emerald City, and that's a David Williamson play.
Yeah, fantastic play. Kind of based on David Williamson's life, about when he and his wife Kristen moved from Melbourne to Sydney. So it's about a screenwriter who's moved to Sydney in search of a different kind of success. And so it's all about art versus commerce, and he kind of, does he sell out and become a kind of dodgy TV producer, or does he write art films? So it's kind of his life, and I'm playing that character, Colin, which is based on David. So, but it's great. I mean, and a lot of the issues in it about the Australian film industry and what kind of stories we should tell, and should we bring an American product, and it's like it was written yesterday.
Yep.
So it's incredible. And it's a very small space, the Griffin, because when I saw it 1987 at the Drama Theatre, with Gary McDonald. John Bell played my role originally, then Gary McDonald took over. But so I remember it very clearly. But this is a much smaller, much more kind of intimate production. So,
and you're moving theatres later?
Yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah. You've
done your research. I googled. Yeah.
You were doing 6 weeks at the Griffin and then 1 week at the Riverside at Parramatta.
Fantastic.
As well.
So that's
me at the moment.
Busy, busy.
Yeah.
Now you and I go back a long way.
Long way.
We
were professionally married.
We were
stage.
Professionally married. Well, and you were in, and as part of my first professional job.
Was that your first professional job? Wow.
Yeah. So for our listeners, my first professional job was in Hair, a concert production that became a full stage production in Melbourne with the production company. And yeah, I was kind of cast opposite you, really. Like we had that little section.
Yeah. Tell our listeners who we were.
Well, I played Hubert, and you played I can't remember her name.
Pauline.
Well, kind of. Margaret Mead.
Margaret Mead. Mm. Yeah. So I played Wolf, who then doubles as a kind of anthropologist based on Margaret Mead, who comes out of the audience and attacks the hippies. And it was kind of based on Pauline Hanson a little bit as well.
Pauline Pants Down, or no, that was
Pauline Pants Down's the real drag queen. Yeah. So, but yeah. I can still remember Hubert.
Hubert. Yes. And as such, we never actually sang the song Hair from the show. I always think that we missed out.
That's right. Because we had to sit and... I sang along though, did you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but we were front of house because we had to come through.
But I can still remember my line about, I had to say to Kurt Kainsley as he put his hand at my dress, don't touch that, darling. I've got a nasty fungal infection up there and it's viciously contagious.
I love it. It's still one of my favourite theatrical experience.
It was the best, wasn't it? I loved it.
And
too.
I can never figure out if it was because it was my first or if it was so special.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
Particularly Act Two. I mean, once the trip happened,
yeah,
I could have done that for another 4 years. I loved. I just had such heart, and it was such a great bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved doing that show.
I loved
many of my great friends still from that show, you and Leah and Matt, and you know.
Tams and Carol, Sharon,
Tams and
Mendoza's. I just remember David Atkins because he was the director on the production. So he gave me my first job and just feeling so, you know, special and lucky that he did.
Yeah. And what an amazing man to work for. Mm. I mean, he is Australian showbiz. So,
yeah. Now, in a career, you'll get embarrassed that I'm going to say this, in a career spanning really over 20 years, you've become somewhat of a veteran of the industry, but you're still so young and you're still so busy. So why do you think you've been so successful? Do you see yourself as successful?
Oh, look, George Clooney once said this thing, if I may quote George Clooney. He said, Once you're making 50 grand a year, you're successful.
Yeah.
Like as a performer, the rest is just cream.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some years I don't make 50 grand, but I kind of think if you can just keep working, you're successful. And like, if you know, a lot of people think you need to have those linear careers. You graduate from drama school, then you become Cate Blanchett, then you win an Oscar. It doesn't really happen like that. But if you can keep doing a variety of things, to me, that's success. And yeah, I've been very, very lucky. And you know, there've been down times, but I kind of keep the ball
rolling
a bit.
Do you feel like, you know, if you could talk to your 20-year-old self, do you think this is what you thought it would be?
Yeah, what would I say? That's like in the Virgin magazine. I guess I would say to me, I don't know what I envisioned when I was that age, but I certainly, if I could go back, I would tell my 20-year-old performing self just to chill out a bit, like. Yeah. I mean, we still get nervous and adrenaline-y about what we're doing, but the enjoyment is actually one of the biggest parts of the job, and not to get freaked out by it. So, and everybody's winging it. Everybody's faking it at the end of the day. So just go with that, you know, and just go, oh, well, this. And also try not be perfect. Try, because perfection, I think, is the enemy of doing good work and having a good time. And, you know, it's been a real thing that I've struggled with, because you think, oh, it's got to be exactly right and I've got to do this and they've got to do that. And you get to a point where you go, well, the most interesting stuff happens when you let it go.
Well, that's the second song we've had today. Play School into
Let It
Go.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
I should work in musicals.
Now, who are your professional heroes? Because you're so many people's. You're one of the people that I look up to and aspire to kind of have a career like. So who do you look up to?
Wow. internationally, I mean, God, so many people. Mandy Patinkin is a, I think, an amazing. Patti LuPone, all the divas, like, you know,
yeah.
Younger ones like Laura Benanti, I think, is amazing. And Australia, I like all those, like Nancy and Tony and David Atkins and Gary McDonald and Tony Sheldon and
yeah.
And Jackie Weaver and...
And who are you excited by younger?
Who do I... Oh, God, so many people.
Yeah.
I think Blake Bowden's incredible. I just did South Pacific with him. I mean, that talent and that kind of rigour, you know, is great. Who else? Youngies. Sam Dottermade, I think, is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. Mel Hawkins. I mean, so many. I could go through this just entire cast right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Yourself. I mean, you know... What you're doing is incredible now that you're branching into roles, which is great. So, like, it's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. And what have you yet to conquer in a career that you seem to have crossed so many mediums? Is there something that you haven't ticked off your bucket list?
Look, everybody says this, but I'd like to start directing. I've directed a bit of student stuff, but there's a few things I really want to... And it comes the thing about saying no to stuff so you have time to do other things. Mm. So I've cleared a bit of space next year when I want to direct a play.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, I'd like to do a bit more of that.
So is there anything you want to tell us about? Have you got a play in mind or are you still on the down low?
On the down low.
Okay.
But it's I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Hopefully it's going to happen soon. But it's funny. Matt Hetherington talks about this, who's a great mate, and I'm both a wonderful kind of friend and mentor to me. It takes a while to turn the ship around if you want to do different things. So, but I think you have to in this game, particularly in Australia, like you can't just go, oh, I just do this.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough work to do that. You've got to be a bit multidisciplinary about it. So, and particularly, it's kind of what my cabaret show is about. But the older you get, 8 shows a week is hard work. And as much I love doing it, but sometimes I think you need to do other stuff just to regenerate, So,
yeah. Sharon Millichip said to me a few weeks ago, I ran into her at the winery here in Sydney, and she said, oh, you've got to diversify or you stagnate.
Yeah.
And I thought that's really...
Well, Sharon doesn't want to perform for a few years.
No, and she's moved on to
Strictly Ballroom. That's right, yeah.
Now,
so. I could never give up performing, though. No. I'm too much of a ham. I'm a slut for a laugh. So. Couldn't let that go.
Well, good. We're glad. Now, you came into the industry.
Oh, your tattoo just revealed itself.
We'll talk about that later. you came into the industry differently than most people. I Google searched you, as I said before. Mm. So am I correct in saying you have a law degree from Sydney Uni? Or you didn't finish?
Didn't finish my law degree. Have had another year or so to go. But it wasn't for me.
No.
But I still have some friends from that time. And I worked in a law firm for a little while, but it wasn't for me. So much to my parents' chagrin. They're like, what are you doing?
But it was at the uni at New South Wales Uni,
actually.
New South Wales Uni that you kind of got the bug.
Yeah. Well, I did stupid. I was doing microeconomics originally in my arts degree. And I was like, what am I doing this for? And then I changed to theatre studies and went, oh, okay. And it wasn't a performing course. It was more like theatre history and that. It was a fantastic course. But I also joined the theatre society at uni called NUTS.
Right.
New South Wales Uni Theatrical Society. And I was going to ATYP at the time as well and PACT Theatre. So I was doing a lot of student, young people's theatre. And then I went, oh, okay, I think I've found my place here and kind of got embroiled in all of that.
And you kind of missed the formal training of NIDA or WAPA.
It was funny because New South Wales Uni is opposite NIDA. It's across the road. And I was living with a few NIDA students as well, some dear friends. And so that I'd come home, I'd be like, oh, can I read your Stanislavski? And they'd be like, yeah, can I take your essay on Molière and hand that in? I'm like, yeah. So I can't, and I saw all their shows. I've kind of felt like I was there at the same time. So.
Just didn't pay. I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, look, as part of coming on to Ticket A42, you have to take the Ticket A42 test.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited.
The great thing about the test is that everyone gets 100%. There are no wrong answers. So let's go. So the first question is called The Kid in A42, which references, obviously, the name of the show and my first experience.
You have to do a cabaret called the Kid in A42.
Yeah, right. I've got a shirt. Luke Hunter made me a shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it references the name of the show and when the theatre bug bit for me, which was watching Deborah Byrne in Sunset Boulevard at the Regent Theatre.
I've got
in
a good
Melbourne.
Deborah Byrne story as well.
Well, I want to hear
that. Yeah,
but what was your Kid in A42 moment?
Well, I think the very first show I saw was Pippin at the what used to be the Her Majesty's Theatre, which is now apartment block. I was 4 years old.
Well, Her Majesty's here in Sydney.
Her Majesty's in Sydney, sorry. Yeah, yeah. So Nancy Hayes was in it, John Farnham, Colleen Hewitt, Ronnie Arnold. And I can't remember. I can remember there at the beginning. I can remember like all the hands coming out of the fog and like, join us, leave your cares to flower and all that stuff. And I can remember a rubber chicken in it, but not much else. But I can remember, my dad repeats this story. We turned the corner at where Broadway meets Key Street, where it is. And the lights were going ding, 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 ding. And I was four. We were running a bit late. I abandoned my father and just like raced for the theatre because I was like, I'm not going to make it in time. And so I was like, geez, like, come back, come back. And I got to the, like, to the, you know, the door to the theatre with the ticket lady. She's like, have you got a ticket? I'm like, no, my father's coming, but I need to get in. And I was like, I abandoned him.
And that
I
was
like,
that.
And dad like running behind. I was like, that's a pretty keen music theatre queen right now at 4 years old. So I remember that. And then, and from then I started, we saw Disney on Ice and then Snow White with the old Regent Theatre, which is gone now as well. And yeah, the bug was early. And then anything, ABC TV used to play a lot of musical stuff, like, they'd play the Tony Awards or kind of British theatre stars doing Christmas carols and stuff. And, you know, that coupled with Bill Collins' Golden Years of Hollywood on Friday nights, I was sucked right in.
Hooked.
And the first play I've performed in, I did some local theatre stuff, Anne of a Thousand Days and Our Town, Thornton Wilder thing. I had to play a dead guy. I was 10. And I remember my mum saying, because there's a bit where all the dead people sit in the cemetery, mum said, you know, you can see you looking at the audience. I'm like, oh, really? So, and then did Gigi at school and then went from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is called What's Got Your Goat? And this is your chance to tell me something that's got your goat. Is there must be many things got your goat.
People making noise backstage.
Right.
I don't like it. Yep. Never have. Like, really, how hard is it to shut up backstage?
Mm-hmm.
I know people go, people think I'm a bit of a nana, but I'm like, keep it down.
Are you a shusher?
I'm a big shusher.
Yeah.
I'm a shusher in the movies even. So my brother refuses to go to movies with me anymore because I shush people.
Mm.
But backstage, like, how hard is it?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what's got you go. This is very superstitious. So lots of performers have backstage rituals and superstitions. I know you've got some. Tell me about them.
I always have a jar of M&Ms on my little desk because it's colourful. It's a little chocolate here. It's good for the breath after the show. And it invites people to your desk for chats and gossip.
Well, you always, having worked with you a few times, your door is always open in the dressing room.
Yeah.
So, Mitchell hosts Wednesday Wine and Cheese.
I'm Dusty. Yeah, you haven't for a while. That was fun. Mm. And actually, in this very building where we're recording today, when we did hair, do you remember I had a farewell party in my dressing room, which the set was bumped out by 3 a.m. We were still going in my dressing room at 4. I'm very proud of that night.
I 100% do, because I remember Danielle Everett, who was playing Sheila at the time, and she had also played Christine in Phantom of the Opera. I said, can you sing the...
And she did it.
And
she did
it.
So I love my dressing room. And I have the same makeup towel on, like this one, on my dressing room table that I've had since my very first show.
Yep.
It's a bit old now and it's a bit pathetic.
It's washed, right?
It's washed, but it's a bit threadbare now. So that's my little security blanket.
I did read your article in the Equity Magazine about this kind of stuff. It's fantastic.
But what else do I like to do? A bit of a stretch, a bit of a sing beforehand.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Visit the bathroom at 5 to 8. It's all good.
Tell me the 5 things you can't live without.
My family.
Uh-huh.
My friends.
Yes.
Vegemite.
Yes.
Beyonce. What was the other one? I was going to say something else. Theatre.
Theatre.
That's boring, but
no,
I couldn't live without it. I love it.
That's
I love doing it and I love seeing it. It sustains me.
Yeah.
Because it makes, for a while, if life doesn't make sense, you go, I just need 3 hours to concentrate on this particular issue.
So is that your favourite medium in terms of performance that you get to do, not necessarily watch?
Yeah, I look, I love film and TV too, yeah. But yes, in terms of the instant hit, I mean, you can't beat it. And you're kind of in control of your arc for the evening, you know. And I mean, even though you've been directed and you've made agreements with everybody else, you still have to go through that process. Yeah. You don't have an editor going, I'll snip that.
Yeah.
I love that. So.
Fantastic.
And I love, you know, as I said before, a bit of a laugh, a bit of a clap. It's
lovely
hard
applause.
To beat.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, there's nothing like taking a bow and hearing 2,000 people applaud.
Yeah, actually, I prefer the laugh to the bow.
Yeah.
Because I go, then I know I've done the right.
Yeah, true.
Done the right thing on that gag. I've gone, oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah.
I've served what the text wants me to serve.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now, this is called Diva Tanti. So tell me about the biggest diva tanti you ever threw or have seen thrown. You don't have to mention names, but you've got some good stories, so I expect a good one.
I've slammed a few doors in my time. What? I've walked out of a tech rehearsal at Sydney Theatre Company because I thought it was unsafe.
Yep.
And came back and it was fixed, so that was good. I'm glad I did that.
Yep.
What else, diva tantis? You might know this one. When we did Dusty, because there was a 6-part television series about the making of a musical, and I wasn't featuring it very much, but I tried to be very kind of manly and, you know, mature in all the interviews and whatnot, because I was playing Rodney, you know, the very camp hairdresser in it, and I was like, yeah, I tried to be this very cool guy. And I don't know if you remember, but during the previews, a song, Heart and Soul, was cut that Tamsin K. Tuckerman and I had to sing, and I thought it shouldn't have been cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I was backstage, hands on the hips, clicking fingers in the air, going, I can't believe that song has been cut and the Megamix is still there. It's outrageous. And they captured all that on film, and that's pretty much all they used of me in the television series.
Speaking of that television series, though, I think you're also that we're going to divert a little bit from the Ticket A42 test. Yep. You're so kind of strong in your beliefs with equity and equal rights and all of that stuff for all. And because of you and Tamsin being so instrumental with that television series, we all ended up getting
and
paid.
Alexis Fishman
and Alexis,
too.
Fishman getting paid, which was at the time I was quite young still, and I didn't really realize the weight of the work that you were doing to make sure that it was all equal.
And I'm glad we did. Yeah. And so we should have been we were being filmed for 6 half-hour shows, you know. And poor people like Nathan Pennell and whatnot were virtually nude walking down the corridors. You know, they deserve some money for that. You know.
I think he knew the cameras were there. all right. Phone a friend. You're on a game show. Who would you call? Who's your friend that you'd call?
Oh, if I was on a game show? Yeah. Like for smart answers?
Yeah. Or even, you know, just for moral support or who's your go-to?
Look, I'd have to say my best moral supporters are Queenie Van Der Zandt and Tara Maurice.
Yep.
They are the people, if things are turned to shit, they're like, I'm going to come and leave this is happening. I just need to talk this out.
Yeah.
They'd be the first people I'd call, I'd say. My dad, too, is amazing. He's such a great support. And Dad's really good on professional questions, too. Like, do you think I should do this or do you think I should do that? Yesterday, I called him about the choice of two gags in my new cabaret show. Which joke's funnier? Sometimes I don't like his response, but, you know, and my brother and my sister too, incredible supporters. Yep. But, lots of people. It's funny. Like, I think that's very important to have a wide range of people that you can call for particular issues. Like, I need help I need to get a good tradesman. I'll call that person. I need someone to basically just tell me that what I've done is correct. And, you know, and not question me.
Enabler.
Or now I need someone to question me and I know who's going to give me a kind of tough love response. It's good to have your peeps, you know.
Yeah. So you've got a phone a friend favourites.
Yeah, I've got a favourites box. Yeah.
Fabulous. showbiz, showmance, show crush. Who's the biggest show crush or showmance you ever had? This can defy age, availability, sexuality, massive talent crush.
I get them on I mean, we all do. I fall in love with everybody. Yeah. Like, you know. Oh, that's a lie. Not everybody, but it's hard when you leave, isn't it? Because finishing the TV show yesterday, I was like, oh god, I loved all these people, and then it's gone. My favorite, okay,
or one of note.
Every time I work with Rhonda Birchmore, I just want to hang out with her all the time.
Yeah,
adore her.
Yeah. Why?
Funny, ridiculous, enjoys it, can mock it.
Yeah.
You know, dirty.
Yeah.
I had a huge show crush on Jeffrey Rush when we were doing Forum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talent crush. But yep. And because our two slaves were, I kind of said to him, we're like a married couple. Like, he was like the kind of philandering husband and I was like the narky bitch wife. It was like, pull your head in, you know. So that was, I loved working with him, and we, you know, send dirty texts to each other still. And
yeah.
So, not dirty, but like rude.
Yeah.
Bitchy.
Careful.
Gossip.
Careful. Yeah.
God. At the moment, I'm Emerald City. I've got two show crushes on Lucy Bell, who's playing my wife, and Kelly Pataniti, who's playing my kind of,
yeah,
the object of my affection in it. Yeah. So
Lucy Bell, she wouldn't even remember this, but when I first graduated from Whopper in 2001, I had met her on, I'd won this scholarship through ATYP to fly to Alice Springs and do this series of workshops, and she was one of the professionals that came.
Right.
And I kind of hit it off with her, and, you know, she said, you know, when you graduate, it was still a year away, when you graduate, yeah, make sure you call me in Sydney when you're in showcase and on showcase tour, and let me know that you're here.
Yeah, right.
So I did, because I was a kid from Perth, young kid from Perth. Yeah, I knew nothing. Yeah. And she took me out for lunch. I remember I had no money and she paid for it. And I talked to her about the agents that had shown interest in
she
me.
She paid for lunch?
Yeah.
Aww.
She did. And we had a little, you know, we kind of kept in contact for a few months. And then as life does, it takes you in different directions.
Yeah.
But whenever I see her name, and I saw her name on the Emerald City
Girl,
I think, oh, she really made a difference to me when I first
graduated. We'll come and see the show on a Monday. And then we'll have supper after. She's a goddess.
Yeah, gorgeous.
She's one of the nicest people you could ever meet.
Yeah.
So hasn't got a bad word to say about anybody.
Now, this is Genie in a Bottle. So a genie grants you three wishes. What are they? But you get four, because our last guest, Ewan Doige, could only think of two wishes. So he said he wanted to donate his third wish to the next guest.
Four.
So thank you, Yui.
Wow.
Mitchell gets four. What are your four wishes?
Oh, wow. I want a really solid emissions trading scheme back in the country.
Yep.
And I want some full-on action on climate change, which is not happening at the moment. I bang on about it on Facebook. It's a very important issue to me. I would love to open a new show and originate a role on Broadway.
Yep.
There you go. I'll say it.
Say it.
What else? I would love to jump out of a plane. I don't want a bungee jump, but I'd love to jump out of a plane. And
with a parachute attached, of course.
No, fuck it. Just jump out of a plane, see what happens. With a parachute attached. And I would like to, at some point, I don't know when or how this will happen, take 6 months off from everything. And because a friend of mine did this, and just like travel, obviously, and whatever, but do dumb stuff. Like I've got a list of things I want to, this is kind of a wish with many
subparts.
Like learn how to wolf whistle properly, learn how to do amazing pen tricks, learn how to juggle properly, learn how to do really incredible yoga stuff. Just like dumb life stuff that you don't have time to do.
Yeah.
I'd like to take 6 months off just to devote that to doing crazy shit.
And then you could, your showcast form
your
skills.
Yeah.
Will be beyond.
Beyond. Amazing pen tricks, really good wolf whistles.
Expert at yoga.
Yeah. I do already. I spend a lot of time watching YouTube tutorials about, you know, dumb stuff like that.
Amazing. This is switcheroo, so you get to ask me a question. I'll answer anything. I'm a little bit scared giving you that license, but I'll answer anything.
Right. When are you moving to Sydney?
Well, I'd love to live in Sydney for a little bit.
Right.
I was actually speaking to Lucy Durack about this very, very topic the other day, because I feel like, although I live in Melbourne and I have my little place in Melbourne, something's just leading me to Sydney at the moment.
I can too, actually. Yeah.
I don't know. So if anyone wants to chuck me a job, that'd be fantastic. Tell me a secret skill that you have that no one knows about.
Wow. We can read various toilet walls across Sydney. No, not true. I'm very good at... once I've taken off my underpants, flicking them up with my foot.
Fantastic.
And catching them in my hand. That's a pretty good skill, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean,
Not a lot of people can do that.
It's functional when you're on your own and impressive when you're with someone else.
Catch.
does it depend on the elasticity of anything?
Boxes, briefs. Just watch me go. Because I know if something's lighter or heavier, I could.
Awesome.
What a dumb thing to say.
No, I think that's funny.
Yeah.
Accent and dialect. So
that's right.
Talk to me. Yeah. Tell me what you had for lunch in your favorite accent
for dialect. For lunch, I had a chicken schnitzel sandwich. It was very nice with some lettuce and some cheese. So not too much mayonnaise because I don't want to get fat because I'm already a little bit fat. I've got like middle-aged spread here.
Russian?
Yeah, very good.
Did you learn it for anything specific?
Yeah, I have played a Russian guy in a dreadful show at the Melbourne Theatre Company called The Mad Woman of Shayo. And I did some Russian. And it's getting worse the more longer I go here. But it was good to begin with. Yeah,
I love it.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Well done. You're good at that. All right, so we're coming to the end.
Oh, no, please, never end. I love being here. It's so fantastic.
This is called This or That.
This or That.
30 questions.
Okay.
One-word answers.
One-word
answers. Everyone gets to know you a little bit better. Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
Can't choose.
Okay. Black or white?
That's actually a very hard one because on a metaphorical level, what do you choose?
Could mean many
things. I'm going with white because Sunday in the Park with George, white, blank canvas.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
In or out?
Oh, take me to dinner first, please.
In. Up or down?
Again. up.
Left or right?
Left.
Walk or run?
Walk.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Love both. Sydney, because family.
Beer or wine?
Beer, but more spirits at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hitting the hard stuff. Diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Top or bottom?
Both.
Love or money?
love.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Boxes,
but you can
briefs. What am I talking about?
You can flick.
I can flick both.
Yeah, paper or plastic?
What was that one?
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Christmas or birthdays?
Christmas.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Bad or good?
Good.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Wrong or right?
Wrong. But I want to say right, but wrong just came out.
Whoa. Apple Mac or PC?
Mac.
Yeah. Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
Both.
Me or you?
Both.
I love it. Fantastic. 100%. So this is it.
Where did you get that?
I made that up.
That is really good because it actually, simple as it is, it raises a lot of questions.
And lots of different people get lots of different meanings from some of those questions. This is our shameless plug. So this is where we get to plug everything that Mitchell is working on. So as we mentioned before, Mitchell is playing in Emerald City at the Griffin Theatre Company until December 6th at the Stables and then December 13th at Riverside Parramatta, correct?
Correct, on Monday. Yeah.
And you can go to griffintheatre.com.au for ticket details. And then his cabaret, Killing Time, do you want to give these details?
Sure. He's on at the Hayes Theatre Company, begins on November 9, then November 23, November 30 and December 7.
Yeah.
Sunday night, 7:30. Tickets on the website.
Yeah, hayestheatre.com.au.
Yeah.
If you want to follow Mitchell on Twitter, it's Mitchell_Butel. Instagram, just Mitchell Butel. And please tweet me, John James O'Hara, and anything we've spoken about today on the podcast will be available on the website, aussietheatre.com.au/ticket A42. I'm loving all of the feedback that I'm getting tweeted, so please keep it coming. And don't forget to use the hashtag #TicketA42. Mitchell, we're going to take a little selfie right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing it. There we go.
Fantastic.
Hey, Mitch, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm really chuffed you asked me.
No,
lovely.
It's our pleasure. All of our pleasure. This is me signing off. Goodbye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.